We're doing the Rambam's introduction to Mishnah. We're up to page Nun Bet in the Rav Shilat edition and page Samachay in the Rambam Lam edition. The Rambam says, The Rambam has been explaining to us the different components of the Talmud, and the fourth component the Rambam had said are the drashot, the derivations our sages derived from the Torah. The Zayin Yanavi, and this fourth topic, Ratzoni Lomar Hadrasha Nimtza BaTalmud, the drashos that are in the Talmud, En Ruy Lachshosh Malto Me'ata V'Tualto Chasira. When we see the different midrashim, seemingly you have stories in the Talmud. The Talmud tells us different drashos, different midrashim. So you might think, stories. Most people, they reach this part of the Gemara, they run through it, and they continue. It's nice stories. Ava yesh bo tvuna gdola, says the Rambam, that you should know that really hidden behind the stories there is deep understanding. Mipnei shehu cholel chidot pliot v'chamudot niflot, because really these stories encompass different riddles, different hidden aspects of the world, and things that people really would love to know, but they are beyond them. Kedrashot ahin, for these different drashos, kshistaklu ve'en istaklu tzichlit, when you know how to analyze them intelligently, yuvan ve'en me'atov ha'amiti ma'she'en lemala mimenu. One can attain, one can understand of the good, the true good, that one can attain an understanding that there is no, that is unsurpassed. And in truth, the drashos, the stories of the Talmud, really conceal within them the godly concepts, and the truths of the world, what the wise men really, they kept it hidden, they didn't want to reveal it. In all the different words of philosophers generation by generation, if you want to know true philosophy, it's really hidden within the stories of the Talmud. And if you look at the simple understanding of the stories, you'll find that the stories really seem illogical, and they are as illogical as it can get, says the Rambam. And the reason our sages did this was really because they wanted something extraordinary. Firstly, they wanted to get the students to be sharper and to get them enthused, to get them involved in the learning. So they said these amazing stories. I was once traveling on a ship, the Gemara says, Rabbi Bar Bachana says, I got off the ship, and all the people got off the ship with me, and we started making a fire, and as we were sitting there preparing lunch, suddenly this island that we were on started moving, and we realized this wasn't an island, this was a tremendous fish, and everyone jumped overboard, they jumped off the fish, and they all died, but me, I made it back to this ship. Okay, you tell such an amazing story. The students are all interested. Wow, so that's a story of Rabbi Bar Bachana in the Gemara. So the Rambam says, when you hear such extraordinary stories, so one thing is it sharpens the students and gets them excited and interested in the learning. The od kedei laver inei ksivim shelo yaziru libutam leolam, and furthermore to blind, so to speak, the fools who really have no potential for attaining wisdom. Vilo ayita mareh lehem zohar ha'amitut yasebu pneihem, and if you show them the truth, if Chazal would have spelled out the true philosophies that they're hiding within their stories, so then they just turn away from it. They wouldn't appreciate what's being told. Because what can they do? You know, people have different IQs, different potentials. They're never going to get that far. That about such people and people like that, our sages told us, don't reveal the secrets of our tradition, of our wisdom to these people. For they're not really complete in their wisdom, in their understanding, to understand the truths. If you want to reveal the truths that we have on tradition, that you can't reveal to people who haven't attained real wisdom and don't have potential for it. And even among the sages, we find that they didn't want to reveal to one another the traditions they had of the truths of creation, of how the world really functions. The Gemara already recounts the story that one of the rabbis tried to get together with other rabbis who he knew had a real understanding of how God created the world, a real understanding of what we call Maaseh Bereishis. And those of you who remember, last week we learned in Drasha Saran that Maaseh Bereishis is the understanding that precedes nature. It's what we might call a natural understanding of metaphysics, the concepts that are above nature, that call it the nature behind nature. And this rabbi, our sages say, he had a mastery of Maaseh Merkava, understanding the celestial beings and how God's chariots work. And they knew how God created the world. So each one had one secret of the Torah. Just one second, okay. Bamru Tova Daval. And they said, fine, okay, it's a deal. You teach us and we'll teach you. And after they taught him the secrets they knew, Nimnahu Milamed Lahem Maaseh Merkava. He found a way out from teaching them the secrets that he knew. Because he felt like after hearing from them, they weren't yet worthy to hear the other secrets. Yeah.
Right.
That's a different translation what you guys have, right?
Okay, but it was originally...
It was originally in Arabic, right. We're in translations. This, I think that one is Rav Shilat, and this one is, I think, Rav Ibn Tibon, the one I'm reading.
Okay, it doesn't confuse us, it's kind of a general, the same general topic, but the words are very...
Yeah, right, you're right, I forgot to mention that. That the Rambam writes, the way the Rambam explains what is Maaseh Bereishis and Maaseh Merkava, the Rambam describes it as an understanding, a deep understanding of astronomy. That was the Rambam's position. But it doesn't matter. The Rambam still went with the Gemaras. The Gemaras say that these are secrets that no one's allowed to know. That you have to have a specific tradition and be on a fine level in order to understand it. The Rambam wrote the Yad HaChazaka in Hebrew, but the Pirush HaMishnah is, and this is the introduction to the Pirush HaMishnah, he wrote in Arabic, as he did with his letters, many of them, and as he did with the Sefer HaMitzvos. Yeah.
Okay. We didn't have Kabbalah. They said because the science of that day was so strange to us, seems mystical to us, to him it was rational to him. It was like if you open up a book of evolution and chemistry and physics today, but to us now what was back then science today seems like mystic and weird, so we can't tell the difference.
This requires a class on its own, understanding the Rambam's understanding of Maaseh Bereishis and Maaseh Merkava. Yeah.
The Mishnah Torah was written in Hebrew.
Correct. Mishnah Torah was written in Hebrew, yeah. Except for Sefer HaMitzvos.
Do we have the original, the original
Arabic? Arabic, yeah. We do.
Did you buy the book in Arabic?
Rav Kapach, when he put out his edition, initially he would put it out with the Arabic on one side and Hebrew on the other side. He said, you could test me. I want the scholars to be able to look at the original Arabic and compare and see if I did a good job. Later he realized that no one's testing him, so he stopped putting it out with Arabic.
Yeah. On the back of the
Rav
Shilat book, he has the Arabic.
Yeah? Okay. What? Yeah, the same name. Yeah. Rav Kapach passed away 8 years ago.
Also, the same one.
Yeah. And God forbid that this rabbi who found a way out of the deal and told the other rabbis, I'm not teaching you. God forbid he did it because he had a bad heart. Hold back wisdom from the other rabbis. Or because he wanted to outdo them. Anyone who has those traits, that's despicable. You've got to be a fool to behave that way. Certainly, these honorable rabbis who were chassidim, they were pious. God forbid that you're going to say that he did it out of jealousy or something like that. But the reason he did that, he recognized that he was fit to learn what they had, and he recognized that they were not fit to learn what he had. And he brought a proof to this, what King Solomon said, King Solomon says you have honey and milk under your tongue. Upershu aleihem shalom, and our sages explained this verse. They said, "Vamru shinyan devar ze shachokmot amtukot shanefesh tinam dahim." Our sages said that the verse means that there's wisdom that's sweet that people enjoy. Kmo shinam achech bidvash shechalav, just like a person enjoys eating honey with milk. So that type of wisdom, tzichin nastiran, we have to conceal that wisdom, v'shloi dubar b'hem, and not speak about them publicly. V'alyalu al sfat lashon b'shum panim. The pasuk says it is all under your tongue, but you don't express it externally. It doesn't come out of the tongue. V'zeu shamal tachat lishonech. That's why the verse says it's under your tongue. Shanyunim elu einam imah sheroi lilamedu lorot bam b'yishivot ha-chokhmah. This isn't what you're supposed to teach. When you have a congregation of wise people, everyone sits down for a Friday morning shiur, so this isn't the time to teach Maisa Merkava, Maisa Bereishis. The hidden wisdoms are our hidden understandings that we have from God as to how the world works, how the world was created, and how the world works today. Those are things that have to be kept in private. V'ulam bat yomizumem bakatuv rakimazim na'alamim. The verses just give allusions that are covered. And when God chooses to uncover the cover of foolishness that God places on our heart, when God chooses to uncover a person's heart, meaning gives the person potential for understanding these things, and this only comes after a person has really worked hard and been accustomed to attaining wisdom, then he can understand it depending on how wise he is. And a person should know that when it comes to this form of wisdom, it has nothing to do with trying to find this source or that source. What he has to do is leave things in the hand of the Creator, and pray before him, and plead with God to give him understanding, and to teach him and reveal to him all these secrets that are hidden in the verse, as we find with King David, of blessed memory, it may rest in peace. Asachin, that's what he did. David said, God, please reveal my eyes, and let me see the amazing things of your Torah. And when God reveals one's eyes, and he shows him what he shows him, so if God reveals to you something, you got to hide it. The Gemara tells us that there was once a kid who was sitting studying Yechezkel with his rabbi, and he figured out how the angels work. So he started giving a speech. He said, Rebbe, I figured it out. I know what Yechezkel was talking about. And he starts talking, and lightning struck down and struck him dead on the spot. Because he wasn't supposed to reveal it. So even though he was a kid, but he attained great spiritual heights, the Gemara says. He attained great spiritual heights. He was sitting in the middle of class, and the son said, hey, Eureka, I got it. And he decided he's going to go teach it. He's going to explain it to everyone. He dropped dead on the spot. Kmo shamru, as our sages said, that you got to keep it quiet. If God blessed you that you understand it, so keep it quiet. And by the way, my tradition I have from Rav Pesin Zatzal, is that when it comes to Kabbalistic secrets, those who know don't tell, and those who tell don't know. So if someone is saying that he knows Kabbalah, so my tradition is that he doesn't. So after you hear a thing like that, you ask yourself, can I ask my Rebbe, does he know? Okay, Vim Yilmoz? What?
What would happen if, like,
what?
Like, what would happen then? I mean, if you take that further, like, what would happen if, like, I don't know, like the Rabbi Eliash and the Rabbi Cook, you know, like, seventh grade Kabbalah, what happened if he came and said, you know, like, Jesus, you know, like, I imagine if he said that, like, if he learned any Kabbalah, he probably, maybe he. Unless he said, no, I know nothing, like in that humble way.
You'll see, no, many times rabbis say, I don't know anything about Kabbalah. Many times. You'll read Rav Feinstein's response that he was asked certain questions about Tikkun Chatzot. I don't remember the issue. He says, look, I don't know anything about Kabbalah, but I know in Rav Yaakov Emden Siddur it says like this and this. There are many times. Sometimes, yeah. But that's not Kabbalah when they're doing that. Then they're quoting the Zohar like a Medrash.
So I guess basically if he says, oh yeah, I learned it, then you know he didn't. If he says humbly, like, no, I don't know anything, yeah, he does know.
It doesn't mean he does, it means he might.
Or he might
have to be done. There are different levels of that, like serving them, you know, we do like Kabbalah, they say, let's say, like, put 3 drops of water in the wine, but that's not like Kabbalah, but I think like you can do like very powerful things.
Minagim we have, for sure. I mean, the way we wash our hands in the morning is based on Kabbalah. The whole you have in your tefillin that you have hairs coming out of, that's based on Kabbalah. A lot of things we do based on Kabbalah. But, what? Okay, maybe. And, so the Rambam says, "Vim yomoz mem bimat yomoz," and if for whatever reason he chooses to give allusions, to give hints a little bit, so he'll give hints. Lemi sheyesh lo sechel shalem hinodah mitato, only to someone that he knows he's really smart and he's truthful. Kmo shebe'aru v'gilub ma'asiyot rabot b'Talmud, as our sages explained and revealed to us in many different stories in the Talmud. Val kenen, therefore, and ra'oi le'ish chacham legalot ma she'yada min hasodot, it's not fitting for a smart person to reveal what he knows of the secrets, ela lemishu gadol mimenu chamo, he only reveals it to someone who's either greater than him or of equal stature like him. She'im yigale oto lichsil, because if you reveal it to the fool, af al pi shelo yiganehu, even though he won't disgrace him, lo yitav be'inav, the fool is not on the level that he'll appreciate it. Val ken amar chacham, and that's why Shlomo HaMelech said, "Bozne chsil al tedaber," don't talk in the ears of the fool, "ki avuz desechel milecha," for he will mock the wisdom of your words. Ve'od, and furthermore, shalimud la'mon am tzich sheyeh b'derech chidah u'mashal, kidei sheyecholel anashim v'anarim v'aktanim. So the first reason the Rambam says why our sages told us all these fascinating stories in the Talmud is to teach us the true philosophies, but you have to have a tradition in order to understand what they're talking about. God has to reveal it to us, or a rabbi has to reveal to you. But the rabbis had to conceal these depths of knowledge, so they concealed it in the stories. And furthermore, the second reason we have these fascinating stories is because when you teach the masses, you have to teach them in a way that will incorporate the women and the children and the youngsters into the learning. Until they grow, mature, and understand more. And then they'll think back to the stories you told them, and they'll understand that there's more depth, and they'll understand more as to what the stories were teaching. And this is what Shlomo alluded to when he said, part of the point of the book of Mishlei is to understand the allegories, to understand the stories that the wise men say, to understand their riddles. ומפני אלו הסיבות, and because of these reasons, סידרו החכמים עליהם שלום דבריהם בדרשות. The rabbis organized their words in drashos, in different stories and fascinating sayings. על עניין שיחיקהו שכל הכסיל לפי מחשבתו. Things that if you think about it foolishly, you'll think, hey, that's impossible. The rabbis tell you all kinds of things. You read the stories of the Gemara. The Gemara says, you want to see how many demons are around you, so take a black cat, the daughter of a black cat, and you burn it, and you put it inside a metal vessel, a metal tube, and you, the placenta, right, of a black cat, the daughter of a black cat, the firstborn, the daughter of a firstborn, and you burn the placenta, you put it in the tube, and you look, and then you'll see so many demons, and one rabbi did it, Abaye's son, and the demons came to get him. Okay, you read that story. And they say, come on, I'll try that. That doesn't work. Okay, either it does or it doesn't. But when the rabbis told us all these stories, so they told them in a way that the average person, if he doesn't respect Chazal, he'll say that's impossible. But if he respects them, he'll know there's more depth. And don't think that their stories are really lacking. But a person should think that the reason he thinks badly of the story is because he's not on a level to understand. And when you see something that they said, an allegory that seems very difficult on the surface, a person should say, boy, I wonder, why can't I understand this? A person should be upset that he doesn't understand. He should feel bad. How come that things that are so true are so distant from me? Because in truth, says the Rambam, just like we know different people have different nature. One person can be an athlete, one person can be a wrestler, and one person is a weakling. He wasn't granted that strength. One person is 7'5", and the other person is 4'2". Does he have a choice? No, that's how God created him. Well, by the same token, you have sumo wrestlers when it comes to their minds. They got tremendous minds, they have tremendous potential. And then you have people who have midget minds. They're tiny minds. God gave different people different potentials. Just like there are different natures physically, so too there are different natures intellectually. And just like a person by nature might be more honest than someone else, so too intellectually, one person might be better than the other. And undoubtedly, once a person knows things, so his mind is better than one who doesn't. Because one person is using his mind and the other one is leaving his mind with potential. And therefore, says the Rambam, there are things that to one person is clear as day, and the other person thinks it's impossible. You tell a person, you take 100 pounds of lead, and you take 1 pound of lead, and you drop them, they'll go at the same acceleration rate. So a person will say, you're nuts. You tell him, no, it's a scientific fact. The force of gravity pulls them down at the same rate. He says, no, it's impossible. But I'm telling you, it's a fact. To one person it's clear, and to the other person it seems impossible. And it could be based upon their different levels or based upon different understandings they've attained. And I'll give you a story to explain it. Kegon, for example, shenishali ish me'anshei chokmat ha'rfuah v'chashbon v'anigun, u'mahir v'chokmat ha'teva v'charif ra'onot v'yafe tivo, v'hu na'ur v'rek me'chokmat ha'tishbor te'chokmat ha'kochavim. If you take a person who he's a tremendous doctor, and he knows how to play music and musical instruments, and he's an excellent mathematician, and he understands nature, and he's a sharp-witted person, and he has a good nature, but when it comes to understanding certain mathematics and understanding geometry and engineering, he doesn't begin to understand it. When it comes to astronomy, he has no understanding. So you tell him, "Mata omer ba'ish u'toen shiguf Hashem shanoin kilu igula ktana." You ask him, "What do you think? There's this guy here who says that the ball of the sun that looks like a small thing, shuguf kaduri. He thinks that it's really a huge ball. V'godel kaduru hu kigodel." He says that it is 166 and 3/8 the time of the size of the earth. What do you say? And the earth, says the Rambam, if you tell a person and the circumference of the earth is 24,000 mil. I guess that's what they thought in the Rambam's day. V'ya al haderech hazeh magi al hadat kama milim yesh b'midat gol kadur ha-shemesh. So think how huge the ball of the sun is, says the Rambam. So you tell this to this intelligent person. In safek sheishu zachar ayon, undoubtedly this person who's really smart, asher iskil min hachokhmot kol hashamanu, who's attained all other forms of wisdom, lo yimtzav nafsho makom lekeim zot emunah, will undoubtedly, he won't be able to sustain that as a truth. He'll say, no, that's not true, it's impossible. V'chol ze rachok v'enav u'vilti musag. And I'll say, nah, he can't even understand that such a thing could be. And before he even thinks about it, he'll say, nah, that's impossible. He'll say, there's no validity to such a claim. How could it be that a person standing here on planet Earth, he's taking a small space, the space that a person stands on, and he'll know how big the sun is. He thinks that from here he could attain how big the sun is. And beyond that, he'll claim, he'll say it's impossible, the sun is so far away. You can't even look straight at the sun. You can't figure out what the sun is. The best you could do is see the light from the sun. So how does he think he could measure it? And he thinks he could get such an accurate estimation. He'll say that's ridiculous. So a person who has no understanding when it comes to astronomy, that's what he'll claim. So this is the Rambam's example. Let's just finish the example. The Rambam's showing us how when you have no understanding in a field, so sometimes you think you have logical claims why what someone's telling you is an impossibility. By the same token, when we have no understanding in the inner philosophies of Judaism, if someone would try to tell us things, we'd say, no, that's ridiculous, that's impossible. And we'd have what seems to us as logical claims why it's wrong. And the person doesn't even think, maybe I'm wrong. He's sure that this claim is completely invalid. אבל כשירגיל עצמו בלימוד ספרי חוכמת המידות וישכיל הערכים הנערכים זה לזה, המחויבים לצורות הכדוריות וזולתם, but if he spends time studying astronomy and the different books of understanding the shapes and how to estimate size, ויתק משם אחר כך הספר המסודר בעניין זה והדומה אליו, and afterwards he takes a book that organizes and teaches him how to do these things, רצוני לומר ספר תכונת הגלגלים הידוע, ספר על מגסטי, so the Rambam tells him which book a person should really study. I don't know which book this is, but he says if you read Ptolemy's book of Almagesti, as titvorel slozot atana, then after he's prepared himself, then he'll understand that this is the truth. V'tashuv lo liot tanat emet shein basafek v'sheyesh aleha mofet. Then he'll understand how this is true and how this is proven. V'lo yetzlo efresh ben sheguf haShemesh hu kashiur hazeh o sheHaShemesh metzuya, and it'll be so clear to him that just like he knows the sun exists, he knows that the sun is this size. V'yargil sichlo la'amin ha'davar she'ya batchila marchik hachaka gdola, and he'll get accustomed to knowing that this is true, something which originally he said is impossible. V'yamin bo emunah gemura, and he'll have complete faith in this. Hinei ze yuchal liyot, you agree that can happen. V'anachnu lo hiskamnu al ha'ish she'shalnu ze ha'inyan she'ye chaser min ha'chokhmot ha'acherot. So I think we're going to pick up over here just because this is going on many pages. But the Rambam's point, and we'll finish this point Bezrat Shem next time. The point is that the rabbis had to hide the wisdom of the traditions they had, the philosophies, the Jewish philosophies within the stories, because if he came to a person and just presented them head on, person would deny it and say it's impossible and think that he's being logical and the rabbis are being illogical, and that's why the rabbis had to present it in this fashion to hide it within stories that seem far-fetched.